Blog Talk Radio.
Talk about memories. My. What's going on, everybody? This is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio, and today we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records right here on Solar Records Radio. So much love to you, and you just heard Dynasty, my group, out of Solar, and man, oh man, whoa. Groove Control, you know, and I remember recording that song. I remember just trying to figure everything out because it was right in the beginning. I was trying to figure it all out with Leon and what he wanted from me as a drummer and what he wanted from all of us, you know, because I could hear, you know, this man trying to, you know, like get everybody lined up and organized to try to get this song done the way that he wanted to get it done. And it was just wonderful. It was beautiful just to be there and to experience it. Back then, I was like freaked out. It was like going to school, not knowing what you're learning. Like, oh, I hope I do good. I don't know if I'm going to do good. You don't know if you're going to get an A, a B, a C, a D. You don't know what your report card is going to be. So all you can do is do your best to be your best. And that's all I ever tried to do when I was there at Solar, working behind Mr. Leon Silvers. It was an amazing time for me. And I was really blessed. It was hard. It was hard work. But it was honest. It was good, honest, hard work. And it was something that I knew that it would make my family proud, right? It would make my friends proud. And it would make me proud. I would be, you know, happy that I was able to accomplish something in becoming a professional drummer, right? And so that's all I was thinking when I was there. I'm just trying to be a professional drummer. I wasn't thinking about the writing and the producing and all that stuff. I was thinking about what was right in front of me. And I knew we had to get that done. And so Dynasty was right in front of me. Next thing you know, it was after Dynasty, it was the Shalimar, and then after Shalimar was the Whispers. But Shalimar was the first group I ever recorded professionally with, and then the Whispers was the next, and then Dynasty. So Dynasty was always not the head, even though we were very important to Leon. We weren't the head group. We weren't very important to Dick Griffey. I mean, you know, Dick Griffey, I think he was just signed Dynasty because it was Leon's group. And it's like, okay, long whatever you want, Leon, just as long as you're taking care of my other groups and doing what I need done. And Dynasty was kind of just like, okay, it was a favor, I believe. And so we even got treated that way because we never got the just due that Dynasty deserved, because Dynasty was the one that was doing hits on everybody else. But we never could go out and promote the stuff that we did on ourselves because we were in the studio doing everyone else again. So you see, I mean, this is just real talk, and I'm being honest. And it's not to put anyone down. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. We did not get the kind of love that we should have gotten. And I've gotten questions about this many times on different radio stations. People would ask me, and it's kind of, you know, so the joy for a lot of the Dynasty musicians was is that we were writers. And so we got gold and platinum records. So we were able to celebrate with the other groups that we worked on. And that was good. We got royalty. You know, it's all good. But we weren't able to just go out at the end of the day and do Dynasty the way that they were out doing their thing, because we didn't have, our name wasn't as big as all of the other groups. And it was because of us that they all, well, except for like the self-contained groups like Lakeside and Midnight Star, I mean, they were self-contained. They were doing their thing, and the deal. Those groups did their own thing, but I'm talking about, you know, groups like Shalimar and the Whispers. They needed music, and so we were providing that. Carrie Lucas, and so anyway. But listen, guys, I just want you to know that today I want to talk about Silver Spoon Production. I want to talk about, you know, people are asking a lot about, you know, what. You know, tell us about this company that wrote all these songs and was so busy and stuff. And so with that being said, I want to bring my friend in, one of the my co-writer as well, in the name of Janet Cole, who really was a part of Silver Spoon. And we're still writing together as we speak. She's still my longtime friend. So, hey, Janet, how you doing, dear?
Hey, Wardell. I'm doing good out here in California. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Oh, yes, yes. You're always welcome. And we're just, you know, California, man, I can't believe it. I'm not there. I was there for 40-something years, and now I'm not there anymore. It's kind of weird. It feels a little weird to me. How is the weather in California?
the weather today is surprisingly sunny. It's been kind of very volatile, like cloudy and then sunny and then cloudy and then sunny. It's been kind of weird lately, but it's beautiful today.
Oh, very, very, very good. And so, you know, I just tell your husband hello, please, and tell him thank you for his amazing work that he did on our song. We are so appreciative of him. He's really good.
He loves to play guitar any chance he gets.
Oh yeah, he's a bad boy.
Which is kind of a bittersweet thing, because when I first met him, I used to play guitar, and then once I heard him play, I put down my guitar and never picked it up again.
You were like,
all these years later, I'm thinking, wow, why did I do that?
I know, because, you know, even on your Facebook page, there's a picture of you and a good picture of you holding a guitar, and I was like,
yeah.
Well, I didn't know she played the guitar.
Yeah. I used to be in a couple of bands back in the 80s. That was one of my bands.
Wow. I had no idea that was you played guitar. To me, you are the woman that had a way with words. And so so I was like, oh, there, we got to get Dennis on these songs. So listen, I want to talk to you about Silver Spoon Productions. How did you end up working with Leon Silvers and all the rest of us? How did that happen for you?
It was kind of a funny story. I still have my best friend Joan. I don't know if you remember her from back then. She would hang out with me at the studio sometimes. We would play ping pong. You probably would recognize her if you saw her. But anyway, we somehow managed to be backstage at a concert. And she said to me, Janet, that is Leon Silvers over there. And I said, okay. She said, no, he's a very, very big producer. I said, okay. She said, you need to meet him. And I was just excited. And then she started yelling at me. She said, Janet, right now and introduce yourself.
Hold on,
I walked over. Joan. She's my best friend. She's an artist. She's to this day, we're still like sisters. But anyway,
okay.
As artist, I mean a physical artist. She paints and sculpts and does that part of the art.
Okay, yeah.
But, she always had this knack of, like, walking into a room and, like, famous people would just sort of appear. She had this sort of her superpower. And sure enough, I went with her to this thing, and there was Leon Silvers. And so I walked up to him. I said, excuse me, Mr. Silvers. And I kind of looked over, and Joan was staring staggers at me. I said, my name is Janet, and I'm a songwriter. He said, oh, well, I'd like to hear your music. And, of course, back in those days, everything we did was on cassettes. So he said, look, come by the studio tomorrow night and play me your music. I said, okay. So I know you remember the old Studio Masters in West L.A.
That's where we lived.
I went to Studio Masters and, like, I don't know, 10:30 at night when Leon got done in the studio, he said, okay, I got a cassette player in my car. Let's go. So at, like, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, we were sitting in his car playing my songs from my cassette on his car stereo. And he said, hey, you're really good. I'd like to sign you to a deal. Our first meeting is next week. Come on by at this time. And all of a sudden, there I was.
Wow. Just that quick.
It was just that quick. But, you know, Wardell, this was really my first anything close to a professional situation. And I had so much to learn. I was so lost. I remember the first time, I mean, back in those days, people didn't have computers, for example, for recording.
Right.
You know, you couldn't sort of cut and paste and delete and then undo.
Real musicians playing real music.
And Leon bought an 8-track. I think it was a Tascam. And he wanted all of the writers to learn how to use that 8-track. And I don't know why I remember this as a particular memory, but we were getting these lessons, and I remember that I didn't even have a clue. Like the person that was teaching said, well, you go to this bus. And I thought, what's a bus? Like it was like such an education for me being in that environment. And of course, meeting all these incredibly talented people was really, really a thrill in my young life, for sure. But the reason I'm mentioning about the technology back then, you know, nowadays people have so many tools available to them that you don't even really have to be a great artist to make great music. But back then, you know, everyone, there was no delete or redo. Everyone had to really play their instruments. I remember Leon in the studio with a vocalist literally punching in every syllable to make sure it was in tune, because there was no auto-tune even back then. So it was really an amazing learning and growing experience for me.
Wow. What is one of the, I know that is, I know that's one of them, but what is one of the most memorable moments for you outside of that? What else is there about Solar? Is there something still to this day that kind of sticks out and stands out to you?
Oh, absolutely. Here's kind of a fun, magical moment. When I was young, my father especially told me there was no way that anyone could ever succeed in music. So he basically discouraged me from pursuing it. And, you know, he was never happy with the fact that I told him, look, I'm a songwriter, this is what I do. And, you know, he kept saying, get a real job, get a real job. Well, just a little after that, my first record, which was Disappearing Act with Shalimar, got released, and it was a hit in England, a top 10 hit. And just at that moment, my parents went to England. When they never traveled, but they had this vacation to England planned, and every single pub they walked in, that song came on. And my father and mother told me later, they were so proud and so excited, and everybody they could talk, that's my daughter's song. And from that moment on, you know, they completely, completely changed their view about my choice of career and about me. And so
that
great
is so
moment
beautiful.
That came,
I never knew that story after all these years. You like holding secrets and stuff? Jeez. So what song?
Disappearing Act with Jody Watley singing.
Oh, wow.
With
amazing.
Dana and Foster Silvers were on that.
All right. Okay.
And
Dana
Myers and Jody Watley sang the lead, and it was a hit over there. But anyway, it was just, for me, it was a very defining moment in my relationship with my parents that they actually went over there just at that time, and it was kind of a fun little story.
Beautiful story. I need to know about your friend. Like once, you know, she was pushing you, and thank God for friends like that. You know, that we take friends for granted sometimes, but if you just, you know, friends are so important. They're just like family. They're just another version of family, real friends, not just an associate, mm-hmm. but a friend. And, you know, this is a friend that did not have jealousy in her heart. She was a friend that wanted to make sure that you got what you were looking for. And she was like, you are going to talk to him because, and she pushed you right into a silver spoon, so to speak. So, but I want to ask you, she pushed you right in there. So what did she say after you called her? Because I know you called her. I don't think we had cell phones back there then either.
No.
So after you got all the way back home, and what did you tell her? And how did she react when you told her what Leon said to you?
She was really happy. She was really happy. Yeah, for her, it was like this magical superpower. Like I say, she would always manage to meet these people that needed to be met in life, like people that you could never meet. And somehow, I don't know. She was great at that.
That's
she's a brilliant artist in her own right, and I'm very proud of her. Her name is Joan Banks, if anyone, joanbanks.art.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And thank you. I wanted you to, I just, you know, it's so, and so what, does she sell her art? Does she sell art on in online? Is that what she does?
She sells art. Yes, she started off, well, she was an artist at Disney Feature Animation for 10 years, and she learned quite a few different mediums of art, but she is also an incredible sculptor, but now she's doing painting. And anyway, we've managed to stay best friends through all these years since we were like 13 and 14 years old, and that's a blessing because I never had a sister, so she's definitely the sister I never had.
Oh, well, you know, God picked that one for you, and so happy for you, and I'm so happy for her. And if she's listening, hey girl, much love to you, and thank you for being the friend and the sister that she needed to launch her career, but also to now see, I'm getting emotional. She became my friend because of your action. See that? Yeah, she's like,
oh,
so,
poor Dale.
Yeah,
and you know what? I have such beautiful memories of you back from the Silver Spoon days because you were just so warm to me and embracing, and you were very kind to me, and you said, hey, let's write a song together. And I remember that. It really stands out for me that you were really there being so warm and welcoming when I came into this situation where I was really kind of a fish out of water because I'd never been in a professional situation like that before.
And this is the other thing, and I'm just going to keep it real. This is she's a white female coming in to a studio where 90% of the people are black males.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I grew up with all sisters. So my immediate thing was to protect her. And so I'm thinking, whoa, this is a tough place to be, you know? And so, but everyone was really like very kind because we all were all really in the same place. We were at the starting block, the starting block of our careers. Right. And so we are all at the beginning, and Leon was leading us and teaching us and showing us. And so we all recognize that we were all in the beginning here. And some of us had done some stuff earlier, you know, recording and playing on a lot of records and stuff. But as far as writers and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, this was a whole new world. Even Silver Spoon, you know, we just got The Office. Right. So did you come up to The Office? Was The Office there when you first joined us?
I think it was shortly afterwards. I joined in 1980.
Oh, yeah. So it was shortly after. Yes. And then we got The Office on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
Yes. And so it was, you know, I mean, what an amazing time. I mean, for me being there with you guys and just getting, I remember you used to drive out to my house. Do you remember driving all the way to my house in Fontana, California?
I think so. I think I did. Yeah.
Yes. I'm like thinking, wow, that's impressive. You know, somebody really is into their art and they really believe in, you know, you enough to come to you and that far and work. And I remember you came there and it was so much. It's just always been wonderful being around you and knowing you. And so I'm grateful that, you know, look at our relationship is still going on and on and on and on. And we have so many friends. You know, I was talking to Leon earlier today about you and that, you know, that you're coming on today. And talk, yeah, yes, yes. I've just texted him right now and said, she's on.
Really?
You know,
hey,
he's he's in the studio recording Howard Hewitt's daughter. And so.
Oh, wow. Talk about full circle.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
His daughter. Wow, that's beautiful.
I know, it's crazy, huh? Yes. So
that's beautiful.
Yes, it is. And I talked to Howard a couple of days ago because he is in London with Shalimar, and they are about to do. They just start kicking off their tour. Shalimar thing. So you know, there's a lot going on. I'm so happy for everybody, and I'm wishing everybody the best. What was your biggest song out of Silver Spoon?
That was the one, Disappearing Act.
All right. So, and what album was the Disappearing Act on? Do you remember? The Look? Oh, yeah,
Look.
That was a good act. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that made some good money. I think that was a platinum record. Was that platinum? Did that go platinum?
I think it was gold. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And sadly, just to talk about sad things, because that really is another part about us getting up in years, and you know, we don't always have the same people around us. But sadly, I had another song that I knew was going to be a hit on Edmund Silver's album that sadly never came out because we lost him.
Oh, wow.
But I had a beautiful song that he recorded of mine. And I don't know.
What was the name of it? Do you remember the
so
name?
Sad, but,
No. This is life. It's life.
That's what I'm saying. Here we are 30 years later, Wardell, or even more than that. So, you know, that's another – he was an important part of Silver Spoon as well. So I just wanted to give him a little tribute. But it might have been his concert that I was – that's where I met Leon. I think we were backstage at Edmund's concert, now that I'm thinking about it. But, the song I wrote was with Cornelius Mims. It was called Yesterday Is Over. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
Anyway.
you said Cornelius Mims?
The one and only.
Yes.
Bass player? Yeah.
Yes. So what about him? What about Cornelius?
Oh, just that we wrote this song that Leon recorded on Edmund. And it just came to my mind when you asked about my songs from back then. But unfortunately, life intervened, and so the record didn't get released because of true life tragic events with Edmund.
Yes, my goodness. All right, so I have a question for you. I have a question for you from the listeners. Mm-hmm. The question is, if someone told you that they knew nothing about Silver Spoon and its music, which song would you suggest they listen to?
And the Beat Goes On.
Oh, wow.
Because that makes me think of life. That makes me think of our discussion about life, that title. It's like it keeps going on.
That is so cool. That's a good one. And the Beat Goes On. And so, with that being said, Leon Silvers was something very special, because a lot of people get confused and they think that these groups are, created this stuff themselves. But can you imagine all the pressure that Leon had to have to make sure that he got hits on each one of these acts that he was working with, as hard as it is to guarantee a hit? And so he really was the sound of all of these groups by himself. You know, he used us as seasonings, but he was the chef, you know?
Yeah, he started it definitely. Even the producers who came later, who became huge, L.A. and Babyface, came through him. You know, all these producers, Jam and Lewis,
right.
Everybody came through.
Yes.
Everybody was around back studio masters back in the day.
Absolutely.
And they were under him. He was the big guy.
Yes. And so it strikes me kind of funny sometimes when I hear, them getting awards and Leon hasn't even gotten it, those awards. And I'm like, whoa, how is that even possible? Like producer of the year. Like how did Leon not get producer of the year? It's a strange thing, because I keep hearing people talk about how amazing he was, but yet the industry mm-hmm. has not given him his just due, which is really, really sad. And Leon doesn't, he don't really care about that, but I do, you know,
yeah,
as his
he
little,
definitely deserved that.
Yeah, as his, he,
I'm
he
sorry, go
definitely
ahead. Yeah,
deserved.
He, definitely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was a yes. legend at that time. And, you know, younger people, some of them don't really realize, but he was a major mover and shaker in the entire music industry in the early 80s, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could get yeah. an act signed just on the strength of his name.
Oh, man. Just
he
on the strength.
He could into any major yep. label and say, look, I have this group, and he would get a deal
yep.
on the strength of his reputation and his name. So, yeah, he was major, major.
Yes. I'm that it makes me sad. Let me ask you another question. Who inspired you as a teenager and who motivated you to pursue your career?
Okay. Here's an interesting story. As a teenager, I was in love with Joni Mitchell. I had my guitar, I had my long hair. I was like a folk singer as a teenager. And I went to college at UC Santa Cruz, and I had a roommate named Tina Sowers. And she is the one who completely changed my world around, exposing me to this amazing world of R&B music. And she took me to hear a group that was performing on campus. Nobody knew who this group was, completely unknown, called The Whispers. And this was like in the 70s when they first came out. I went to hear them perform on my college campus. And from that moment on, I was just so in love. And I didn't even think about the connection that had with Silver Spoon and Leon, but that's a funny connection that I never thought of, because from the time I saw the Whispers concert, I was just crazy about their music, and I wanted to find out, okay, who are other groups that are similar, and I just completely, it opened up my whole world of music.
Wow. That is beautiful. That's a story right there. Just how did
yeah,
that happen? What a coincidence, right?
Yeah, I was almost destined to wind up at Silver Spoon somehow.
Wow, my goodness gracious. I'm trying to find Disappearing Act is your song, and I haven't heard that song in a long time, so I want to play it as soon as I can get it going here. And so I'm having a problem.
Yeah,
with
that
it.
Song. Yeah, that song. I'll tell you a little bit more about how that song came to be, because I used to have this. You know, I was single and going through all kinds of ups and downs, and so I made this policy: if anybody ever breaks my heart, I'm going to write a great song about it. And so the origin of that song came out of this heartbreak that I had. And I actually wrote a completely different song called Disappearing Act, and I played it for Leon, and he said, oh, I have this idea. I'm going to put it to this Foster Silvers track. I'm going to bring Dana in. And they turned it into the song that became the hit on Shalimar.
What?
But it all started from me having my heart broken by somebody who literally did a disappearing act. And sure enough, I had that policy that, you know, if I ever get my heart broken, I'm going to write a great song about it. And it worked.
Wow. Wow.
Even though in its final form, I have to give most of the credit to Dana, but it still turned out great.
Oh, wow. That's a sad but beautiful. What a way to recover, right? Because somebody broke your heart, and simultaneously, your mom and dad were proud of you and supporting your career now.
I know, right? That's why You know, Wardell, that's why life is so crazy. Like, I heard what you were saying before you brought me on just now, and you were talking about how, you know, you wanted Dynasty to be this huge group, but because it didn't happen that way, you guys ended up producing all these hits for other people. It's just, life is just funny how things turn out. Sometimes a curse turns into a blessing, and, you know, vice versa.
Right, because it was truly, you know, can you imagine, like, you're in this bubble with all these groups, and you're developing their sound. You're creating the music for them, and they are growing, and you're, like, doing the same thing for your group, but you're not growing. And so then the focus became more about the other groups than your own group, even to yourself, even to Dynasty. We were thinking, okay, so we are a group of producers and writers now, that Leon made us into, like, mini Leons, right? We were tiny little Leons. And so we all were just becoming writers and producers and not just out there performing like the other groups. And so our whole focus had changed to, okay, everybody's producing. And next thing you know, we're producing the Brothers Johnson, Gladys Knight and the Pitts, you know, the Spinners, and, you know, I mean, just so many different groups, Janet Jackson. We're working in writing and producing everybody else. It's like, okay, this is our world. This is where we're supposed to be. So, you know, for some people, that would have been an amazing opportunity, an amazing gift. And it was to us too. But that wasn't the initial plan, like you, right? With that guy, you were hoping that, hey, this is going to work out. We're going to have a great thing. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, and you got paid off of it, and you got an amazing husband. So it's just...
Yeah, that's true. That's
right?
Pretty funny how that works.
Yeah. So it's you know, life does kind of have twists and turns and stuff. But I just want to take a little small music break, and I'm gonna come back, and I'm not gonna keep you too much longer, because this is spontaneous. This is the kind of friend she is. I called her out of the blue, just out of the blue, and she showed up to do the show with us. So thank you, dear. Thank you so much.
Oh, of course. Pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. It's always great talking to you, Wardell. Talk about friendships that you maintained for so many years. I'm always so happy that we've maintained our friendship all this time. It's really a blessing for me.
But there's a reason why that happened. You know, it didn't just happen. It happened because we nurtured it. We nurtured our relationship. We respectfully reached out to each other after a certain amount of time. We respectfully were good to each other. So therefore, it was okay to work together, continue to work together. You know, I mean, we worked on maintaining a long distance relationship, and a relationship that's expanded from decade to decade to decade. So, you know, my hat's off to you for just always being there whenever I called you and said, hey, what's up? Just like you did when I called you this morning. And I called her and she was just waking up, but her response sounded like she was up all day at a basketball game. So she was like, Wardell! Like, whoa, what's going on? I couldn't believe it. She goes, what?
It's always a joy to hear from you, Wardell.
See, yeah, and that's beautiful. I mean, she's really a friend. She's a real person. She's a beautiful blessing. So listen, I want to play a song from a group that that we worked on and loved on and stuff. And then we're going to just take a small music break and come right back, and then we're going to finish up with my beautiful friend, Janice, and let her go back, Janet, and let her go and do her day. All right, so 1 second. We'll be right back after this. Goodness, that you know, so they actually came out on Arista for a moment there was a problem that happened right after that, and their album never came out. And these guys had some amazing music. And so there is a campaign to get their stuff going, and that includes Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis trying to help get these guys going again. So let's keep them in our prayers and hopes that they can get their just due, because their records, I mean, their album is amazing. And so, and I really enjoyed it. Now, are you still there, Jen? Hello?
Hello?
Uh-oh. Are you there?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
I'm sorry, I put it on mute while you were playing the music.
Oh, it's okay, it's okay. Anyway, so listen, there's a couple things I want to ask you before I play your song. You know I'm going to play that song. And but just can you just share the thoughts of the company, a company like Silver Spoon Productions, like how significant it is, or how important it was for us, you know, as young, you know, impressionable people to that had desires to be something, to do something with our lives, how important it was to have a company like that, that we were able to springboard our careers off of.
I mean, it's everything, isn't it, really? If you think about it, it's like that one first really professional situation that you get into. That one, I met so many people. I mean, the people I met there led to me later getting signed by Motown as a songwriter, which the people I met there led to other things that happened for me. So, yeah, it all starts with just that initial relationship and that, you know, the somebody believing in you.
Yeah,
which,
absolutely.
In my case, it was in Leon's car outside of Studio Masters listening to my songs at midnight or whatever that was. And, hey,
right.
Yeah, you're good.
And how old were you?
I was in my 20s. I don't –
Okay.
I think I was 25. I got kind of a late start. Yeah, 1980,
okay.
I would have been 25.
Yeah. Well, it's not late stuff. That's not late. That's not too late. Come on, that's good. That's good. That's like you're like, you know. So I, because right out of college, I was actually in college, and I came out to California, but I started college late. So I didn't like go right after high school. I went to Settlement Music School in Philadelphia, and then I went to college. Finally, I found the college that it would accept me because I was dyslexic, so it was hard for me to pass those tests. And so finally, it was the college that said, "Hey, we want you." And I was like, "I'm coming," and I did that
I
college
didn't know
thing.
That word, though.
You didn't? Oh yeah. Oh, about the dyslexia.
I didn't know that about you.
Oh yeah. So you learn a lot of things here on Solar Records. Stuff just slips out.
Yeah.
And so. But yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't, I think it, I don't hide any, you know, stuff like that. I think it's important to share because, you know, being dyslexic, you know, there's a lot of people that are young and when you're dyslexic, you get this feeling of insecurity, you know, like I remember thinking that, man, why are my sisters so much smarter than me? And it can be a depressing kind of thing. Like it could discourage you and deter you and cause you to fail if you're not loved, you know, enough through this. And so, you know, I was able to use music because music loved me back, right? I was attracted to it and it loved me back. And I wanted more, and I kept wanting more of it, and it caused me to I said, okay, so if, I got to go to school, another, because I had to learn how to read music. So then because I wanted to be really good. So then it caused, I'm going to rush this real fast. And so then it caused me to go to schools, other music schools, and then I started learning more. But see, I was chasing something despite my disability. I was I had a love thing happening with that music, and I wanted it, and it was loving me back. And in the process, I was doing something that I didn't think I could do. because I was dyslexic. I thought I would have all kind of problems. But because my focus was not on my dyslexia, it was on what I loved, it helped to, you know, me to become your friend. It got me out here to California. You know what I'm saying? And so I went to college, and then in the middle of going to college, I ended up getting that phone call, and then I called Leon, and he said, "Come on out." And I went out, and so I was only 21, you know. And so, but when we started recording, I was 22. He was a little slow. And so I remember sitting there like for months, like, okay, this is really a boring. I was so excited at first, but yet everything wasn't set up yet. And so Leon was still trying to get all the songs and stuff together. In Leon's defense, he was getting all the stuff together. And I wasn't a songwriter. I was just a drummer. And so he's getting all the stuff together. And finally, boom, he was like, okay, come on, we're going to the studio. Because I was telling him I would just go home because I was used to working and making money with my dad, you know. And so and he's like, no, we're going to the studio. And then next thing I know, we were in the studio with Shalimar second time around. And The Beat Goes On was next by The Whispers. And then the career just took off. And so I was 22. And so a couple of years, you know, younger than you. So you weren't. No, you were still young and beautiful. I remember meeting you. I was like, geez, look at this pretty little girl, that red hair. Your hair, it was so red. Is your hair still red? It's still red, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
It has a little help nowadays.
Yeah, we all need a little help, right? You know, we are, as we're getting older, please, a little more help. I even argue with my wife, like, why are you still putting on makeup? We almost there. You still? And so she said, my granddaddy said, when I complained about my grandma putting on makeup, my granddaddy said, a little paint never hurt an old barn. I said, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So granddad supported his wife. Said, "Let's leave her alone. Little paint never hurt old barn." So anyway, so getting back, I want you to share with us, you know, the song that you wrote, Disappearing Act. What part of the song, what was it that you had to write in this song? Where were you at? I know that you got your feelings were hurt is how it got started, right?
So at the time, I had a friend named Teresa, and this was way, way back. She and I would go out to Westwood with my guitar, and we would stand out there on the street, and I would play guitar, and she would sing a song that I wrote, and I would sing backup and play my guitar, and people would give us tips. This is like way, way back when we were busking out on the street, and so I actually wrote this whole rock and roll song called Disappearing Act. And the part that became the hook was You Give Me Love, Sweet Love, followed by a disappearing act. So basically, I played it for Leon, and he said, you know, I really like this concept, but the style is not really what we're doing here at Silver Spoon. So he had this idea to bring in a track that Foster Silvers wrote, and then bring in Dana Myers to take my title and my hook about You Give Me Love followed by a disappearing act, and then to turn it into the song that became the Shalimar hit.
Mm.
So it became a three-way. It started from this song that I would sing out on the street, and it turned into this really nice three-way collaboration.
Okay, I want details. So can you just explain to me between you and Dana Myers? I know that Foster came in with the groove, right? Were you and
right.
Dana?
He brought in a groove.
And so you and Dana.
Leon told Dana, keep the title and keep the line, You Give Me Your Love, followed by a disappearing act, which is like the main hook of the chorus. Like every chorus ends with that, and keep the title. And Dana just took all that and turned it into the song that you now hear. So he wrote the verses and the melody. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And so did you sing the ideas to them that you had for the chorus?
Yeah, I walked in with my guitar and I sang to Leon.
The guitar that you abandoned. Oh, my God.
That's right. Ever since I met my husband, I said, okay, I don't have to play guitar because he plays so much better. And now I wish I could still play guitar. Funny thing, but
okay, listen,
at least I still have him to play for me if I need a guitar part on something.
I'm gonna teach you something you may already know biblically, that there is this donkey. It's a donkey that was used in the scriptures, and it was used by God, okay. And so there was this man who was going to hurt the Israelites to destroy them as they were going through the desert, right? And so but God knew that this man was going to do this, and this man was pretty powerful in what he was able to do, and God was very upset about it. So he sent an angel down to this man, and the man didn't see the angel, but the donkey did, and the donkey stopped, and the man's like, "What's wrong with you? Go!" And the donkey tried to go a little bit more, and he saw this angel, and he did something else, and he turned around, and the man was so upset with the donkey, he pulled and he started whipping the donkey. "What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?" And so the donkey, this is a true story. This is, you guys look, it's in the Bible, and I will give you the scripture if you want, if you don't believe me. But the donkey,
I believe,
the donkey turned to the man and said, "I have always taken care of you. Why are you mistreating me?" And the man was freaked out. And so then God allowed the man to see the angel. And so the angel said to the man, "That donkey saved your life 3 times, because if you came any closer, I would have each time. He saved your life 3 times. And so the man felt so bad, and, you know, he completely was like, "Oh," and he just, "I'm so sorry," you know, to God. And then he turned to the donkey and said, "I'm so sorry. You've always been there for me, and so I apologize." So I said all of this to say to you, go get your guitar and apologize.
Amen.
And get going, because that guitar got you a platinum record, but in your gold or whatever it is.
That's funny.
But anyway,
that's
all right.
Funny.
So I want to say, I'm going to play your song as you're leaving, and I want to know if there's anything in closing. And let me just see if I have any more questions here. Let me see. I'm going through this. But in closing, if there's anything that you would like to say to the listeners, to your fans, people who love the work that you did. And by the way, Shalimar is in the UK right now, and they have a concert this weekend. And my partner Greg is going with Charlotte, his friend. He's taking her to the concert. Charlotte has cancer, but Charlotte is going to beat this thing. God is going to beat this thing for Charlotte. And so they're going to the concert together, and she has been down a little bit, but man, oh man, ever since, you know, Greg has been doing his magic, loving her as a friend and doing the right thing for her. And we've been praying for her here at All Our Records Radio. And all of a sudden this concert came up, and she's been a big fan of Shalimar for a very long time. And all of a sudden she got tickets, and she's going to see Shalimar.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And so, you know, I would like for you, if you have anything that you would like to say to Charlotte. She has cancer, but it's a battle. But, you know, God is a miracle worker, right? We know that.
Charlotte, yes. Charlotte, you have so many people praying for you right now. And even with this radio show, now you have more people praying for you. So I really, really wish you the best.
Amen. Amen. And so is there anything you would like to say in closing, you know, to any, maybe a young lady that's inspired, you know, to do, you know, what you did, you know, you know, is there anything that you can help her or help them with? It don't have to be a young lady, be a young man as well. That, you know, how can you encourage them? Okay.
Sure. Well, you know, music is something that's in your heart and it's in your soul, and it's not really something that you can deny, which I tried too many times. But the thing that I feel, it's such a blessing to still be here and still be creating music. And same with you, Wardell. It's like it doesn't really ever leave you, and it's such a beautiful gift. And all of these crazy adventures that we've had, some of them worked out the way we wanted, and like you were mentioning, some of them didn't quite work out the way we hoped. But you know, here we are, we still have life in us, we still have music in us, and there's always tomorrow. So I just say keep going, everybody.
Keep on keeping on. Amen. Greg told me to tell you thank you, Janet. He said tell her thank you. Yes, you know, for the prayer for Janet. I mean for Charlotte. All right. So, the last question, and then I'm going to play your song and we're up and out of here. All right. So, last question is, the song has interesting chord progressions. And can you ask what inspired them to write at the tempo when Shalamar's biggest hits were mid-tempos back then? So did they use the chords that you were playing on the guitar, or did they create the
They didn't use my chords. But that was at that moment in time. Do you remember a phase of music called New Wave?
Yes.
It was like coming out of England. That wave was coming, popularity, and Foster Silvers was doing groups like that. So he specifically said, let's take this new wave groove and turn it into this song. So I can't speak to the chord changes because that wasn't my part of it, but I was just sort of the person who inspired the story. But I do remember it was definitely a little bit different vibe in music, and that was specifically chosen for that reason.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you and love you. Love you much.
Yes,
much.
Love you too. Thank you.
I will keep you posted because this, I'm going to tell you guys that when we talk about friendships and writing partners and for years and years, way back in, that was back in the '80s. And here I have a new record coming out and her and I co-wrote. We wrote. So I'm telling you, it's still happening. As a matter of fact, the record is coming out next month. So the single is coming out this month and the album is coming out next month. So thank you again for blessing me. I really appreciate you. And I'll send you the album as soon as I get it back from the record company.
Great. I'm excited. Congratulations.
All right. Yes, yes, yes. I'm just putting out our music. If they said, what you got? Don't just let it sit there. Put it on something and put it out. I said, okay. All right, let's do it. So here we go. But anyway, thank you.
All right.
And we appreciate you. And here is Disappearing Act by Janet Cole, by the
thank
way
you.
Of Shalamar. All right, sweetheart. Right. God bless you. Thank you so
God
much.
God bless you,
don't
too.
Forget, and don't forget to tell your husband hello, please, from Solar Records
and
Radio.
And same with your wife.
I for sure will. Okay. Thank you. All right. My. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, guys. Whoa, Janet, what a sweet lady. Thank you so much, Miss Cole, for coming on and blessing the airwaves here at Solar Records Radio. And so today I just really wanted to just give you guys some idea about, you know, what happened, who is Silver Spoon and this publishing company. And most of the, when you look at the writers on the Solar stuff, most of them are from Silver Spoon writers. And it's because Silver Spoon was Leon Silver's, that was his company. And so we were really blessed to have been in that situation and working with Leon and getting our songs out there, right? Man. And so, but anyway, getting Janet on there, what a blessing. She's such a sweetheart. I enjoy hanging out with her. And like I said, I have a new record coming out, and I apologize for stuttering here. I'm trying to find something for you. I have a record coming out, and it's called Marston Street. It's a street I grew up on, Marston. Marston Street is the name of the album. And the single's coming out in the beginning of this month in June. So please, I will post it in the page so you guys could go ahead on and click on it and order it, you know, the single. And that's called Buckle Up, you know. So, and then the album's coming out next month. So, it's, and the name of the album again is Marston Street, Marston, out of the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. You know, we really loved each other on my street. Childhood friendships, we just held on to them, and we just blessed each other and watched each other get old. And so I'm so grateful for that. Anyway, getting back to the music here on Solar Records Radio, we got only 12 minutes left, so I want to thank you guys for tuning in today. Thanks again to Janet Cole for coming on from Silver Spoon and blessing the airwaves. We do appreciate that. Don't forget, tomorrow is Saturday. And on Saturday, Solar wants to dance because it is the weekend, guys. So make sure you tune in at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don Fleming is on the road, so just keep him in your prayers. Safe travels, Don. And so we look forward to jamming with you guys tomorrow. All up tempo, boom, 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 straight at it, right? So cardio. And Greg is going to a concert this weekend to see Shalimar. Lucky Greg. Man, oh, man. So have a good time, Greg. And I know Howard and Jeffrey and Carolyn are going to do a great job. So you guys should have a wonderful time. Astrid yesterday was with Gladys Knight. She went to see Gladys Knight with our friend James from Dance Radio in Amsterdam. And so, and another friend. So much love to them. I'm glad everybody's getting out and doing their thing. And I'm going out of town in a couple of weeks. So I'm behind you guys. You know, I have to work hard. Some of us have to work for a living. Now, Greg works too hard, though. He needs a break. Anyway, guys, God bless you and take care. And so what I'm going to play you now, you heard that song by Shalimar, Disappearing Act. I forgot all about that song. Whoa, man, there's so many songs that we did. And it's just, you know, we did so many songs that you can't even remember all the songs. And people ask me, well, what did you play on? Are you kidding me? What a crazy question, you know. And so it's hard to, you know, and it's a blessing at the same time that it played on so many songs, but it's hard to remember because first of all, it was way back in the 80s. And second of all, it's just too many songs. So, so that song you heard, Disappearing Act, by Janet Cole wrote, for Shalimar. That style of music really was a thing that Foster Silvers was doing back then. And so I want to play another song that Foster Silvers was doing that same style with and on Miss Janet Jackson. And it was like he was just running with this new wave thing. And we were like, what? This new wave? And he was having a good time with it. And so anyway, and a lot of people, when I look at the video comments on the song, it's beautiful comments. People really love that song that Foster did on Janet. So anyway, guys, take care of yourselves and God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening or afternoon, just depending on where you are in the world. Thanks for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. And please go to our website at solarrecordsradio.com and, you know, go to our store and help, you know, support us, you know, to help to support the station. We are an independent station and we are doing our best to be our best. And we would love if you could, you know, you see something in the store, maybe you could, you know, purchase it. And even if you don't want to buy anything, you just want to donate, there's a donate button on our station. And, you know, you could donate $1 a month, $2, $20, whatever you want. Just, you know, support our station so we can continue to do what we love to do. And that's just to be a blessing to you and give you good music and different types of music all throughout the week. All right. So you take care. We love you. Don't forget solarrecordsradio.com. That's our website. We love you. God bless you. And we'll catch you later. This is Janet Jackson by Foster Silvers. The name of the song is Come Give Your Love to Me. Good night.
exact